Bienvenue and welcome to Akeem's Dream Show. My name is Akeem the Dream, also known as Brown Sugar Supreme, also known as The Dark Knight Batman. I'm Batman. This show is a variety show because I had a lot of ideas growing up and wrote them down, and my curiosity is insatiable. And you'll notice that I have a lot of random ideas and subjects, but I think that's what makes it fun. Variety is the spice of life, and I like to keep it spicy, and you will find that out very quickly. Remember, folks, never grow old with no stories to tell. And it's finally time to spice things up. Let's go.
Check this out. You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never.
Can we talk about Spider-Man for a second? Across the universe, this might be the last superhero movie I watch for a while. And I'll tell you why. This motherfucking movie was 2 hours long. Nothing happened for the first hour and a half. Nothing. It was a guy in high school talking about his life, talking about his woes, his girls, his grades, his position, his parents. It was a fucking melodramatic soap opera from the 80s. Not a superhero movie. You know why we watch superhero movies? We want to see some fucking action, bro. Show us some fucking action. I go to the movie with my buddy who just received an award. Like, hey, let's go check that new Spider-Man movie out. Late night movie. I get the popcorn, my Diet Pepsi smuggled in, of course, because I'm not paying for a fucking cent. Whoever pays for pop at the movie theater is retarded. I'm sorry. You are stupid. You got to smuggle all that shit in. Never, ever, ever pay for pop at the movies. I got my DP ready. I got my large popcorn. One butter. Half of that one butter in the middle, half on top. You got to do the Jedi mind tricks. I will have one butter, half on the middle, half on top. And they go, we can't do this. I'd be like, I'll have one butter, half in the middle, half on top. Okay, I will do that for you. And then they go ahead and they fix up the popcorn. But I get my popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready. Get my DP. I'm sitting in the seat. I'm like, ah, Spider-Man, cartoons, let's go. First of all, the movie is visually beautiful across the Spider-Verse. But the one thing about the movie that pissed me off was nothing fucking happens for the first hour. I look over my buddy, I'm like, are they going to start this motherfucking movie? It's been 45 minutes, right? There's been like one action sequence, but that's it. I'm waiting for this motherfucker to start. Like, if I want to watch a teenage drama, I'll watch The Breakfast Club, right? Or I'll watch Ferris Bueller's Day, like really good ones from the 80s. These modern ones where it's like, oh, I'm so depressed. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to do. Fuck off, okay? Beat up Venom or the fucking Green Goblin or something. Do something. Make something happen, please. And I was so fucking pissed off. And it made me think about the modern state of movies and this whole idea of sunk cost fallacy. What is sunk cost fallacy, you might ask? Well, sunk cost fallacy is the phenomenon whereby a person is reluctant to abandon a strategy or a course of action because they have already invested heavily in it. I put so much money in it, I can't stop now. Look how much resources I put in this motherfucker. Look how much stuff I put in this. I can't pull out. Oof, famous last words. Even when it is clear that abandonment would be more beneficial. So it doesn't matter how much money you've sunk into it, doesn't matter how many resources, doesn't matter how much time, you got to know when to pull your cards off the table, get your dice out of the casino, and fucking get out of Dodge. This is a life skill, okay? And in the entertainment and Hollywood industry, man, they're dropping the ball big time because there are so many movies. And we're going to talk about sunk cost fallacies and other examples in my life because it is very pertinent and a very, very relevant subject in 2023. Très relevant. Très relevant. But when it comes to these movies, yeah, what the fuck is going on? You go look at the history of movies. I think it's crazy what's happening right now. There's so many movies that are tanking. There's so many movies that are shit because they are on some weird agenda where they feel they have to like put social narrative and social, they have to shove some message down our throat instead of telling a good story, right? They want to put the VR and the VR, the special effects above a really good character or characters. Like they're missing the juice. They used to make movies special. You know, the original Hollywood was set up, or Hollywood, well, not Hollywood, Holly won't. Was originally set up in New Jersey in the 1910s and the early 1900s by Thomas Edison, that famous inventor who was actually a cocksucker because he treated all his staff like shit. But this guy, he started the movie industry because he invented the video camera. He didn't invent the camera, but he invented the the process of turning pictures into film, into moving motion picture. So he had this patent, but you weren't allowed to do anything within this motion picture element unless you had permission from the boss, the Don Juan himself, Thomas Edison. He had to give you permission. So these creatives were like, fuck this old crank. I'm not going to sit down and listen to what this guy tells me I have to make. I'm going to make my own movies. But because he had the patent, it was legal and it was only active in New Jersey. They said, well, if we take this thing out of state, we don't have to listen to this fucking curmudgeon anymore. We can bounce, make our own movies. So boom, they go across to sunny California, palmy beaches, beautiful, nice weather. Beaches, before all the homeless and the fentanyl and the shit maps, they had a fucking really nice town down there. And that's where the movie productions went. And that was the birth of Hollywood. All these creatives leaving Thomas Edison to come to the coast. And it went through, arguably, the best run of like culture, invention, and like influence. Because think about it. Anything that happened in the Hollywood between 1910 and 2010, it's dominated the way we think about culture in the world. It's Americana. Right, we're talking about the golden era. We're talking about Casablanca. We're talking about The Godfather. We're talking about all these amazing movies that came out in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. All these amazing movies that shaped who us who are. They drove the culture. They became part of the parlance. Right, I'll be back. Or It's Always Sunny. Like all these movies, right? They're part of us, bro. Part of me. But then this weird thing started to happen where the comics that came out in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, they weren't really good at making really good movies because the technology wasn't there yet to put these superhero comics into the movie theater. So it just wasn't really good opportunities for the superhero movie genre to take off until 2000s to 2010s when the technology caught up with the storytelling. And then X-Men came out, and then Iron Man came out, and then we've just been blasted with a wave of dog shit movies for the last 5 years, I would say. There was a really good period between 2008 and 2018 with the original MCU, and then before that, a few Batman movies with Chris Nolan, where it's like, whoa, the superhero genre has got some potential. And then in the last 5 years, two, three, four, 5 years, let's call it, it's just been wave after wave of dog shit, where it's like you have to do homework before you go to the movies. And this is where sunk cost fallacy comes in. They're so invested based on the momentum from the previous MCU, where they had a lot of success with Thanos and Infinity War and Endgame, right? And then Batman with all the other stuff. Like, they had so much good equity built up that, like, fuck, we can do whatever we want now. We can make it about the social issue of the day. We don't have to worry about stories anymore. Fuck them. Let's just put it in there, right? It's like that Dave Chappelle episode. It's like, what about customer service? Why don't you do customer service at Poppy Barley? And Dave Chappelle's like, because fuck them. That's why. Fuck them. And that's exactly how I feel from Hollywood right now. It's like they refuse to reverse course because they're so sunk in, maybe financially, or they don't want to admit that they've been fucking up big time with these last few movies. So they're like, fuck it. We're invested. We're not going to pivot off of this. You guys are just going to have to eat this dog shit. And this sunk cost fallacy is costing them hundreds of millions of dollars by the way of box office bombs. And because they don't understand sunk cost fallacy, where it's like, listen, we had a good run, and even though we've invested a lot of money and we're kind of positioned into this narrative storytelling, we got to be able to reverse course and maybe look at something new here, because it ain't working. Shazam, Fury of the Gods, an abysmal box office crash, right? You open that movie to $30 million domestically, which is dog shit. Let's say a budget for a movie like this, Shazam movie, Fury of the Gods. This is just one example, and most of them are like this. $200 million, let's call it. $300 million, that's what the budget for most of these movies is. This is what it costs to make it. And it makes $30 million in the opening weekend. Maybe it will make $100 million if it's lucky. So let's say you open a cafe. You put $200 million into that cafe. And over the lifespan of the cafe in the first 5 years, it only netted you $100 million. Is that a successful business? You know what a smart cafe owner would do after the end of the first lease, after it lost half its money? It would shut it down. You know what Hollywood continues to do? They continue to produce dog shit, specifically in the superhero genre. Now, it is interesting because some of these movies are decent. Like you'll get a Spider-Man No Way Home, right? Which came out a few years ago, which was actually very good. you'll get the original Spider-Man into the universe, not across the universe, like the one I was explaining earlier. Very good movie. So if one out of every 10 movies is good, they're holding out for hope that they have struck a new vein and they can revive this dying industry called superhero movies. And I got news for them. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen. People have fatigue. If the sunk cost fallacy is real, you need to abandon ship on making any new superhero movies. And why is the superhero movie so prevalent now, bro? Do we all want to, is that all we want to see as a society, is fucking a guy in tights jumping through the city saying, oh, I suck, and I'm going to go on an adventure to find out how I don't suck and then save the day, maybe get the girl, right? No. You know what movies 20 years ago were the top 10 movies in the world? In 2003? Okay, this is 20 years ago. Tell me how many superhero movies you can point out. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, Finding Nemo, School of Rock, Matchstick Men, Kill Bill Volume 1, The Ghost of the Abyss, Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, arguably one of the best movies of all time, along with Lord of the Rings, Master and Commander, A Mighty Wind, and Runaway Jury. You could also throw Mystic River in there. How many superhero movies do you count out of that 10 or 12 top 10 grossing movies of 2003? I'll wait for it. The answer is maybe you could argue Lord of the Rings. Maybe you could argue Pirates of the Caribbean is superhero genre, but not really. That's kind of like pirates, and that's kind of like middle age, like fucking the sci-fi, right? It's not superheroes. And then you fast forward 10 years where it's like all we get is superhero movies now. That's all we get. That's like 30 to 40% of the box office domestically and internationally is just dog shit superhero movies, right? You think about the fucking Quantumania, Ant-Man, like five people saw that I know. Guardians of the Galaxy, lately, the one that just came out, what was it? Shazam, Fury of the Gods. The one that just came out was The Flash, and that one bombed. I don't think they made even a third of the money back of the budget in the first weekend, which is horrible, especially because they brought back the old Batman. I'm a Batman apologist. I will never see this movie because I've heard it's dog shit. I heard it's terrible, and the guy Ezra Miller is just a weirdo. So for whatever reason, they're bringing him back so they can bring back this dog shit movie. It just doesn't make any sense, folks. Sunk cost fallacy says, abandon ship. It's time to leave it behind. It did not work out. Let's keep it moving, right? But this doesn't just apply to movies. How else does this apply to, right? Well, when I was 19, 20 years old, this could easily have applied to, what do you call it? My diet. For example, I was eating fucking 2 or 3 spicy chicken sandwiches from Wendy's per week. Bank it, and if I wanted, I'd buy an extra one just for the freezer later on that day. And my mentality back then was, you know what, I'm already fat. Why even bother trying to stop and eat healthy? I'm already 40 pounds overweight. That's a version of sunk cost fallacy, because it's like, listen, I've already broke my diet. Why would I go back now? If you're in for a penny, in for a pound. Go big or go home, as they used to say. And I really went big, and I went home. And I didn't leave the house because I was too fat. But the diet thing is like, listen, just because you are breaking your diet sometimes or you have the odd chicken sandwich from Wendy's doesn't mean that you should just give up across the board. Don't just give up. Get back on the horse. Giddy up there, boy. Giddy up there. Get back on the horse there, buddy. Like, even breakups, a very simple concept. For whatever reason, relationship kind of deteriorates. Instead of breaking up, sometimes couples will be like, oh, I've already invested 6 months or a year or 2 years into this relationship. Ergo, I should just stick around because I can't find anything better, or this is just the best I can deal with right now, or whatever, fill in the blank. And instead of doing the best thing for both people, which is maybe just transitioning into some kind of friendship or just being civil or cordial or just breaking it up 100% and allowing people to grow and move on with their lives, you continue to invest into a relationship where you're not happy. Like, that's the sunk cost fallacy at its worst, because that's people's lives, right? Like, people being engaged in relationships where they're kind of half-baked, right? No, like, nobody's a big fan. Like, let's understand why sunk cost fallacy is a thing. Nobody's a huge fan of admitting that they were wrong. that they picked wrong and they wasted a large part of their lives. Nobody wants to admit that, and I get it. But you got to keep it real. Be like, I think we didn't make a good decision here. It's time to bounce. That's a sign of emotional maturity and just fucking being ready for life, right? You know, 30 years ago, I should have broke up with my wife. She wasn't the one, but here we are, still unhappy. Like, you think you're going to come back as a raccoon, bro? This is your only kick at the can. You might as well be happy going through life with the movies you buy, with the partners you have, right? This is a big one. Sunk cost fallacy in the stock market is huge. Bro, I bought Bitcoin. I bought Bitcoin at 20 G's, bro. It's going to bounce back. Right now, it might be at 5,000, but bro, it's going to bounce back. I see it coming, man. I've been reading the P&Ls. Bro, it's going to be at 30,000 by the end of the month. Oh, it's at 2,500 bucks? Don't worry, bro. It'll bounce back. It's just going through a little bit of a transitionary period, bro. Don't worry about it. See, when you ride the stock down like that, that's sunk cost fallacy. Because you think it's going to bounce back and your ego is tied up in the decision you make to buy this stock thinking it's going to rise. But listen, bro, you're not Warren Buffett. That shit is not going to come back anytime soon. What do they call it in business? Cut your losses. That's another form of sunk cost fallacy. Cut your losses and move the fuck on, right? live to fight another day and buy another stock. Career decisions. I always get these fucking cringy Google ads where it's like, just because I spent 5 years of my life doing X doesn't mean I can't do another career. And it's cringe, but they are right. I am case in point. I did 4 years at a career that I had that has nothing to do with what I'm doing now outside of the fact that I learned how business works with like sales, negotiation, contracts, all those things. When I worked at Pepsi for 4 years, if you were to tell me that I'd be doing a real estate development project as a junior development manager and heading a $12 million project, I would have said you were fucking nuts. Maybe I would have said that. Maybe I would have been like, well, listen, I'm Akeem the Dream Brown Sugar Supreme, so maybe that's possible. But for the average peon out there, what are the chances that you're thinking like that, right? That you're like, hey, listen, just because I've been in this career for 5 years doesn't mean I can't abandon ship and do a completely different career. I think that the days of a 40-year career, fucking gold watch cake and, c'est la vie, I think those days are gone. I think you can change your career depending on how talented you are every 5 to 10 years if you want. And it's a bad idea to think that just because I've invested 4 years of university in a specialization, maybe even 8 or 12 years if you're a doctor, and then I've done 5 or 10 years in a career path, doesn't mean that you just can't be like one day be like, you know what? This is fucking bullshit. And bounce. What's his name? Steve Jobs said that if you wake up for more than 4, 5, 6, 7 days in a row, you look yourself in the mirror before, you know, you make yourself look all pretty and you go, I'm not happy. If you do too many of those days in a row, you need to change something. And just because you're in a career doesn't mean you shouldn't be able to revert course, right? So career decisions are huge. If you continue on the path of a career and you're not happy, that is such a waste because you're not going to be as productive and you're not going to be as successful, even though you have a lot of... So you might be taking 2 steps back by changing into a new career like I did. For example, I did 4 years at Pepsi. I went back to school, finished my degree and started at zero, right? And I had a good income at Pepsi. I was making a lot of money. A lot is relative, but I was comfortable, right? I had four promotions in 4 years. I was on track to maybe be making 100 grand a year in a cushy office job. I would have had a fucking great life working there. But it's not, I woke up every morning, I was like, I need to do more than this. I'm not doing enough. I'm not being challenged enough. And that's when I decided to fucking be like, hey, I'm going to do this. X, Y, and Z. It took me 3 years to get hired at the job I have now. But now I'm going to be able to make almost double what I ever made at Pepsi in 1 year based on the fact that I'm actually in a position where I'm being valued for my skills a little bit more. A bottle of water from Costco is 30 cents. A bottle of water at the local arena is $1. A bottle of water at the movie theater is $4. A bottle of water at the airport is like $7 or $8. So it's the same product. It's a bottle of water, but where it is matters. So you may be a really good bottle of water in your career, but you're just in the wrong location, bruh. Your value is tied to where you are positioned. And I think that's what it goes with careers, right? Like if you're in the wrong position and you're a really good bottle of water, shit, they're not going to be able to taste you, bruh. this goes back to investing, but if people, we all have this buddy who's like, man, I'm at the casino, bro. I was only going to spend $100, man. I just refinanced my house and man, this next, man, I'm betting on black and put it all on black, bro. I think I'm going to make it. That's the sunk cost fallacy, right? You can't leave the casino with all the $100 that you were supposed to spend is gone. And now you're refinancing your house. I think we lost you somewhere along the way, right? This is, you should have stopped while you were ahead. For a few years there, I was doing transcendental meditation. And honestly, looking back, knowing what I know now, I would have quit after the first month. I ended up spending like $2,000 to learn how to talk to myself for 20 minutes without turning off my brain. And I'm like, I could have just downloaded the Headspace app for $10 a month and saved myself like two G's. But at the time, I thought that this was the only thing I could do, so I stuck with it. But, you know, you just get hosed. I think part of life is being ripped off enough so that you can understand when a ripoff is coming. And John D. Rockefeller's richest person ever. Like, he started Standard Oil in the 1860s, which became the biggest company ever in United States history. And when he was raising his kids, or sorry, when he was growing up, his dad was a traveling snake oil salesman. And to make John into the businessman he was, or to make him sharper, he would scam his kids. So he'd be like, hey, give me $20 and I'll go buy you a toy or something like that. He'd just steal the money from them. Or he would lie to them on purpose. But it made the kids sharper. So they got ripped off enough when they were kids that they're like, hey, listen, when I enter the business world, my dad taught me when a lie's coming. You got to be able to sniff it out. And I think that helped him become, or it's not the main reason, but he definitely wasn't getting in hosed on as many deals as he should have been, because he just was, he'd already been through that phase of getting ripped off. Like, you got to get ripped off in life. And sometimes you got to go through the sunk cost fallacy thing where it's like, you got to stay in a relationship too long. You got to stay in the wrong career for too long. You got to make the wrong bets in sports for too long. You got to stay at the casino and burn all your money. You got to spend all your money at the workout programs that are not helping you lose weight. You got to go over, be overweight and stay overweight for a while. Like, you got to make these mistakes so that you can become wise.
Do or do not. There is no try, my young Padawan.
You got to go through the ripoffs of the world. You got to get hosed. You got to lose your shirt. This is just part. This is the only way to learn it sometimes. Actually, it's more interesting when you get hosed, I think. Get hosed by a hoe. You know what I mean? if that happens to you enough, you're actually a more interesting person, and you make a, I think you actually become, it improves your character over a long enough span or a long enough arc of your trajectory of life. I think it's important, but I had a friend of a friend who went to India, Mumbai, and or maybe some city in India. I'm not sure if it was Mumbai or not. But anyways, she landed. She drove down in the taxi in this town for maybe 20 minutes. And there was just open diarrhea on the side of the road. Like, it was just, there was no sanitary in this town. And she was driving down the road and she was on her way to her hotel. And she looks at the hotel driver, she looks at the taxi driver, goes, actually, can you turn around and take me back to the airport? I think I've seen enough. So she turned around, got back, got on the next flight and flew the fuck out of there. All she did was go on the street in the cabbie for like 20 minutes and she saw enough and she bounced. That is perfect, because regardless of what you think of that story, she knew what she was in for and she decided not to stick around. She knew when it was time to leave the party. Because if she was to stay for 2 or 3 weeks, knowing what she'd saw in that first 20 minutes and she had a bad time, guess whose fault that is? So folks, what do you think is going on in Hollywood? And by the way, I'll tie up this episode to let you know what I'm kind of looking forward to, because there is some good movies coming out. I didn't mean to shit on Spider-Man so hard, but fuck me, it was just so boring. Let's see here. So we got Oppenheimer, right? I'm looking forward to see that. That's about the Manhattan Project with the bombs. Barbie, who the fuck is going to... If you're a man and you're going to see Barbie, I understand, because it's Pride Month, right? I have to be accepting. Everyone's got to be gay this month, right? But Barbie's coming out. Good luck to anyone who's going to see that. It might blow your brains out in the cinema. And then Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. I thought this franchise died a long time ago. I walked out of the last movie that I was in for this one. I think it was like the third one. It was so boring. I had no idea what was going on, so I bounced. Wonka, that looks interesting. That could be like, what's it called? Willy Wonka? Willy Wonka's origin stories. I'm not sure how I feel about these old properties, Willy Wonka and Chocolate Factory, The Wizard of Oz. They made a movie just about Oz. Now they're making a movie just about Wonka. Can you just make a new story? Like, are the writers in Hollywood that fucking lazy? I could make up a fucking story right now on the top of my head. There was a planet called Zardu, and the Earthlings there were spurred off of a nuclear reaction based on a chemical experiment that brought together superfish that grew gills out of their head that allowed them to only swim at the top of the river through their head, and then they had to fly out. They evolved into snakes that could only fly, and as soon as they touched the ground, they turned into mammals. Does that make sense? Perfect. Do that instead of Wonka, please. Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning. This is the movie I'm most looking forward to because I don't give a fuck what you think. Tom Cruise is the motherfucking man when it comes to movies. This is a guy who understands that I don't want to sit there and listen to some teenage rom-com for the first 45 minutes of a fucking action movie. Show me some action, please. And Mission Impossible, he knows that that's important and he gets it done. Show me a car chase. Show me a fucking mountain escapade where they run through the mountains. Show me a fucking crazy fight in a Paris club. That's what I want to see. That's what we're here for. The Marvels. This is a movie where they had an ensemble of ladies come in because that lady, Brie Larson, from the first Captain Marvel movie is so charming and so likable that they couldn't have her by herself. They had to bring more ladies in. Of course, I'm being sarcastic. This lady is the most uncharming lady who gets... That's what pisses me off about life sometimes. It doesn't seem fair because I'm brown sugar supreme, right? I have 1,000 times more charm than this lady, and I'm making this podcast. She's getting these fucking opportunities out the yazoo because, yes, she's hot, and being attractive is the most, probably the biggest arbitrage in life. If you can be hot and just be born hot, you probably have more opportunities than the average person who's talented. But guess what? I think people are not going to watch that, and it's going to get review bombed into a fucking oblivion. And I hope it does, because I don't like her at all. Dune 2, that looks really fucking good. Dune 1 was good. Denis Villeneuve is one of the few remaining directors who I will actually fucking, you know, refinance my fucking mortgage to go and watch, even though I don't have a fucking house. Aquaman, The Lost Kingdom. I might go see that. Only if Amber Turd is not in it. Fucking Johnny Depp's ex-wife. I think she was supposed to be in it and they took her out because she was just a complete disaster after that Johnny Depp case. But if she's in this movie and she's taking a shit in Aquaman's bed, best believe I'll buy a popcorn and bounce. I'm not going to fucking give her a cent, a dime of my fucking hard-earned money. Blue Beetle, probably another superhero movie that's going to be stupid. Kraven the Hunter might be another stupid movie. Meg 2, Megalodon. I mean, I'd watch this when it comes into movies. Like when it comes onto TV or to Netflix, that's when I'll watch it. I won't go pay to watch it. Equalizer, Denzel Washington. Listen, anything with Denzel Washington, that's an automatic yes. I actually, it's funny. When I'm at the cafe or something and you're with me, you might notice that when they ask for my name, I use the alias of Denzel Washington. Be like, what's your name? My name is Denzel, baby. I'm Denzel. And they'll be like, and they believe me because I look like I'm Denzel, right? Man, Denzel's the only guy in Hollywood where I'm like, damn, if I was in a movie with him, I'd be like probably intimidated. He's just got so much charismatic. He's so charismatic, right, Denzel? My man. Expendables 4, aka let's fucking unearth 4 or 5 of the oldest movie star guys from the fucking 80s and see if they can beat the shit out of each other one last time. Gran Turismo, this one looks interesting. This is like the actual guy who played the actual video game. This is based on a true story. He played an actual video racing car game, and then they recruited him to actually drive a real car, and he was successful at it. The Haunting in Venice looks interesting. The Last Voyage of the Demeter. So the Demeter is an ancient goddess in Greek mythology who fucking lured two guys. She was caught. She's a virgin goddess, which means that she's not allowed to have sex or be seen by any mortal man naked. Two guys were going through the woods in Greece and saw her naked one day, so that was not good for her. She turned them into deer, into stags, and then sent her wolves or her dogs after them to be eaten alive. So, not a nice lady. Coming out, really the only ones worth mentioning, to my opinion, Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, Dune 2, and Oppenheimer. Great directors, great action, great stories, and original. Right, these are all original movies. Dune is a book adaptation, but I'd rather see a book adaptation from something that hasn't really been done well than a fucking Marvel's movie or Wonka. Do you know what I mean? Like, can we just chill with that? But anyways, that's my fucking rant for today. Go away now. Peace.